Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from Peter's second epistle, the first chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, Peter, the quintessential foot in the mouth apostle. You know, very few times in the whole of Scripture does God the Father speak. And when He does, you know that it's important. So when He speaks at Jesus' transfiguration, we might be a bit surprised it's to tell Peter to shut up. I mean, Peter doesn't know what he's saying when he offers to build three tents, right? So God the Father basically says, be quiet. I mean, wow, what do you do if you're Peter? I mean, it's hard enough when someone says that and they're right in front of you. Someone you know, someone you love, someone you can touch, someone whose heart is beating in their flesh. It's something else completely when it's God. I think we would probably all have a little bit of a mess to clean up on ourselves after such a word of God from heaven to us. But for Peter, as terrified as he was in that moment, it seems that that event served to cement Jesus' standing in his mind. In fact, almost any time, that Peter speaks to Jesus from that point on, it's in the form of a question. Because he hears God's word this morning and he obeys it. He listens to Jesus. But Peter, in our epistle lesson, says that there is a greater thing than having been on that mountain, and you have it. Now, this transfiguration is kind of a weird event for us. It's where Jesus' divinity shines through his humanity. It's a glimpse into who he is as he has hidden himself in his flesh, that he might truly be one of us. I mean, now Peter and the apostles, they had seen Jesus do amazing miracles, and they had heard his marvelous teachings, and they had followed after him for quite a while, and there was no doubt in their minds that he was incredible. And some had even started to really hear his teaching that he truly is the Son of God, meaning that he is God in his substance. And some had even started to believe it. But now in this transfiguratory state, these three chosen apostles, Peter, James, and John, got to witness a small dose of the reality of that truth. They saw Jesus' divinity for a moment, and it was glorious. Now put yourself in their shoes. Because for us, we know that Jesus is God. Right? And we believe it. It's kind of a duh moment for us. Otherwise, why would we be gathered here together this morning to worship this man if he were not God? But you might forget that we have 2,000 years of history and knowledge on our side. We have known by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith that Jesus is the Son of God and he shall reign. But we're lucky. We can imagine Jesus coming in fire and in cloud, and we see him as the holy and righteous judge that John later describes in his revelation. But Peter, James, and John at this moment didn't have that advantage. They had to learn as they went. And it didn't always go well. James and Peter ran away from Jesus at his crucifixion. Peter denied that he even knew him. Now, John stayed at the cross, but of course he had gotten in trouble earlier, arguing over whether he was going to be Jesus' number one or number two. The apostles weren't always, let's say, smart, right? They didn't get it like we do today. But here's the thing, we only get it today because they got it eventually. They saw what they saw, they heard what they heard, and they wrote it all down for you that you might hear from them the truth of Jesus Christ in all of his glory. The reality is that the apostles suffered and died for what they saw and delivered to you. Peter says they did not follow cleverly devised myths. Basically, what this means is nothing was made up. After all, no one really could make up what they wrote down, especially because it corresponds so well, perfectly, with what came before in the Old Testament. But beyond that, no one is willing to die for a cleverly devised myth. Not one person is willing to die for a lie that they made up. I mean, think of cult leaders, right, who convince their sheep to commit suicide, but they figure out a way for themselves to escape. I mean, cult leaders aren't dumb. They know what they're peddling is a lie. They don't want to die any more than you do, so they try to figure out a way to escape. Most of the time, it doesn't work. And the apostles are the same. Not being dumb men, if they were peddling a lie, they would have given it all up at the threat of death. Instead, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the majesty that Peter and the others witnessed on this mountain, on the cross, and in the resurrection, they would lay down their lives. Peter would be crucified upside down in Rome after watching his wife tortured and crucified. Paul would be beheaded in Rome. Others were boiled, driven through with swords, stabbed with spears, cut apart into pieces, flayed open, all for the sake of the gospel. And not one of the apostles ever gave up their message in the face of the worst tortures imaginable. Would you give it up if you knew that Jesus was a lie? Instead, they testify to the majesty, to the divinity of Christ. And they hold fast to that because if it is true, then whatever it is that others are bringing to bear on you, whatever torture they devise, it means nothing in the face of the promise of the resurrection of the dead. In today's epistle lesson, Peter is telling you the exact same thing that Matthew tells us in the gospel lesson. They saw Jesus changed in that transfiguration where the divinity of Christ showed forth, where honor and glory were bestowed upon him in the face of the apostles. And Peter then says he heard the voice of God the Father. And as real as that was, and as sure as they were over what they saw and what it meant for who Jesus is, you are even better off than they. Because now you live in an age when the prophetic word of Christ is more fully confirmed. There are no more prophets. There are no more prophecies. There is no more waiting. Now you live in an age where all is known about the Messiah and it points to Jesus himself. All of it. Your salvation is now fully known. Even the apostles lived in an age where it wasn't. They were born in a time when no one knew who the Messiah would be. And now you're receiving this in a time when the Messiah is known, when he is revealed, when he is manifested for all to see. And Peter is saying that this all has been so that the good news of Jesus Christ could be and would be shared with all people, including you. And you, because all is finished, have a better word than even those who saw it firsthand. Think about it. If you're anything like me, what makes you happier? Watching the Packers trail behind the Cowboys all game? Or hearing later that they came back and won it all? I don't know about you, but with the former kind of game, I really get nothing but frustrated with it. I tend to turn it off angrily a couple times. I might turn it back on, right? I mean, they could call the plays better. They could get better in sync. Whatever it is, I just get frustrated beyond belief. But if I miss the game or if I turn it off and I go and do something else and then I hear that the Packers beat the Cowboys after trailing the whole game, it brings me so much more joy. because then I haven't worried about the rest of it. I mean, it's like this. Peter watched the game. You get the news afterward. It's a better result for you because you know how the story ends. And you'll do well to pay attention to this. Because just as Jesus shined through with his divinity, so too does the news of Jesus Christ shine into all of the darkened world. It lights it up through you and in you until he returns and lights the entire world on his own, showing that everything that you believe about Jesus is 100% true. There will be no question, for nothing in the scripture was written down without God working in it and through it. Nothing came without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and everything is true, and everything points to Jesus, and you can know that with certainty. Take it from the eyewitnesses. Jesus is Lord, Son of Man, Son of God. Take it from the eyewitnesses. Jesus is the only way of salvation. Take it from the eyewitnesses. There is nothing you can do to be saved. Take it from the eyewitnesses. This is worth laying down your life. Take it from the eyewitnesses. Jesus lived. Take it from the eyewitnesses. Jesus died. Take it from the eyewitnesses. Jesus rose from the dead. Take it from the eyewitnesses. Jesus ascended into heaven. Take it from the eyewitnesses. He will come back again. Take it from the eyewitnesses. This is the surest thing you can know. Take it from the eyewitnesses. This Jesus is all in all. Take it from the eyewitnesses. Jesus loves you, cares for you, and wants you to be with him for all time and all eternity. And you can know all of this because the apostles tell you so. The apostles who were eyewitnesses and gave up all things so that Jesus' word and his love for you would reach you today. Peter tended to stick his foot in his mouth, but here he is most eloquent. In the word of God is hope, a light shining in the darkness, a light that points you to Jesus. God is no longer telling Peter to shut up, but inspired him to share the word of Christ for all of the world. And so he did, that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God, and you should listen to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.